Hello, everybody. Thank you for taking the time to come to our session today. This is the Run Office on Virtual Desktop session. My name is John Maunder. I'm a technology solution professional here at Microsoft. And I'm very pleased to be here with my counterpart at Citrix, Adam.
Thanks, John. Hi, everybody. My name's Adam Politikovsky. I struggle with a surname, so I can understand why John didn't go there. I'm a lead systems engineer at Citrix in the UK. I'm really pleased to be here with John demonstrating the Citrix-Microsoft partnership that we have.
So really, the agenda is it's more of a transcript of how our partnership at Microsoft and Citrix has grown. These are common questions that we hear from our joint customers that we're really looking to address together kind of as one voice. So we'd like to come to you as customers, as partners, and actually say, this is how we do things. This is a level 200 session, so we're really looking to baseline some of those key concepts and conversations that we have with our customers, and really use it as a jump-off point. We've already met with a number of you today who would like to deep dive specific scenarios, and we'd love to have that conversation after the session with you. So really, why virtualize Office? So we're really going to talk about some of the scenarios that we're seeing with our customers as to why they want to virtualize Office. And also, what is a virtual desktop? So baselining those common concepts that we hear, and actually trying to potentially demystify and dispel some misunderstandings in the field. So when you're talking to either Citrix or Microsoft, what we mean by persistent and non-persistent desktops, Zen app and Zen desktops, of course, Adam's going to be able to talk us through those things as well. Now, once we have that baseline covered, we're going to be looking about how we can then start to go ahead and virtualize Office and leverage our virtualized environments to start delivering Office 365 Pro Plus to those desktops. We'll also look at a demo, how we're going to configure and deploy Office in those virtualized environments, and then, of course, then managing those updates. So why virtualize Office? And from our perspective, we have, you know, two really key areas to talk about. Adam?
Yeah, so John, I think before we talk about why we should virtualize Office, we should probably look at typical use cases that we see our customers use Citrix to virtualize anyway. And there's lots of different reasons. And can I just see a quick show of hands, who currently uses Citrix? Look at that, now that is awesome. Like almost every hand. So you've all got your own use cases of what you use Citrix for. And we see our customers using Citrix for security reasons, for mobilizing devices, mobilizing staff, providing remote access, enable communication, collaboration with third-party organizations. So there's lots of different reasons, John, that we see our customers using Citrix. But maybe we should look at why they, you know, why we'd use it for Office.
So from an Office perspective, we do, of course, have those transitions, those migrations through our Office versions. And actually, sometimes we want to provide virtualization in order to make that transition a lot easier on IT pros and allow that experience to transition across also for the end users as well. Because if we're able to virtualize Office and present that in a very familiar format, then we're able to start empowering those users to work more efficiently. But again, thinking about those IT pros, gaining security around those applications, some of our customers have requirements around not leaving traces of Office content on devices, for example, and virtualization provides us a great way to deliver that on that requirement. From a transition perspective, we have the ability to manage upgrades and updates a lot more smoothly, so the IT admins can take on testing and user acceptance testing side by side when we're virtualizing Office with reduced impact on the end user client. So we really have some great use cases as to why we should go ahead and virtualize all up and virtualize Office. So what is a virtual desktop and when would you use it, Adam?
Yeah, so I think this part of my presentation, I might have changed it if I'd have known how many hands were going to go up saying that you're already using Citrix technology. But bear in mind, this is a level 200 session. So just a baseline, John, of you know what is a virtual desktop. I'm just going to quickly highlight the two key different virtualization technologies that we see. So we've got desktop virtualization. Quite often in the industry, we talk about VDI, virtual desktop infrastructure. And then we have session virtualization or remote desktop session host. And at the heart of it, John, one's about desktop-based operating systems, and the other's about server-based operating system. Now, with that VDI desktop virtualization, I can create a virtual machine that's running a desktop-based operating system, be that Windows 7, Windows 8, or Windows 10, and then I can assign that out to a user. But it's a one-to-one mapping from virtual machine to user at the point of use. When we start looking at session virtualization, I'm going to use a server-based operating system. So Windows Server 2008, 2012, and we'll have day zero support for 2016. I can then provide a session connection to applications and desktops on a server-based operating system, which means I get scale, right? So I can have lots of users, depending on my resource underneath, 20, 30, 40 users, all connecting to the same server-based operating system and getting access to a desktop or to their applications. What that means is I can then get better scale, right? I can put more virtual servers on my hosts, and I can scale out across my users. Now, with virtual desktops and session-based desktops, again, we can take that down a different step. So there's a couple of different ways that we can deliver desktops to our users. Quick show, who knows whether they're using pooled desktops or persistent desktops? So is that pooled? Persistent? Right. And is that all for, is that VDI? Yeah. Okay. So for those that don't know, pooled desktops is I look at my concurrent usage and I might say, well, actually, I've got 1,000 users, but I'm only going to have 250 connected at any one time. So I'm going to have a pool of virtual desktops that I can assign to users as they come in. They get a machine from the pool. When they're done, they log off. That machine gets wiped and put back in the pool. With a personal desktop, it's persistent. So I'm going to give a personal desktop to a user, and it's theirs for the life of that personal desktop. And it maintains state within that personal desktop. And we've got this thing, Pro Graphics. That means actually for either of these, we can underpin the host underneath with a real graphics card, and then we can pass the graphics processing unit through to the virtual environments. And in session virtualization, I've already kind of touched upon, it's server-based, multi-tenant. I can get multiple users on a many-to-one session where I can then give them a server-based desktop or an application that's being presented from that server. And I put some slides together just to really, you know, put this at 100 level and then we'll build up from there. So server virtualized apps, I have 2012, I can install my applications, and then I can deliver a copy of that application to my hosts that are connecting in. But it's all coming from the same server environment. Shared desktop, it's exactly the same. I've now got a server 2012 with the desktop experience pack installed, and I can deliver from 2012 a Windows 8 look and feel desktop. If I use 2008, I get a Windows 7 look and feel desktop, and when we get to 2016, I'll get a Windows 10 look and feel desktop that I can present out from a server-based operating system. Pooled desktop, pretty straightforward. I have a Windows desktop operating system installed on virtual machines, and then I can provide a copy to a user. Now, in that pooled environment, we don't maintain state. So it's a gold master image that's deployed to users every time they log on. And then finally, or penultimately, personal desktop. Again, persistent, it's my personal environment. State is changed when I log off. I connect back in, it's always at that state that I left it at. And then finally, it's a combination of all of those things that we've just talked about, but with graphics capabilities built in at a hardware level that are then passed through and provided as dedicated resource to those environments. So let's look at how we virtualize. Now, there's a lot of people that put their hands up that use Citrix, so this slide shouldn't be completely new to you guys. This is like the million-foot view of a Citrix architecture, right? Over on the far right-hand side, I have my people on any different device at any different location that are going to connect in across some sort of network, be that either on my LAN or they're going to connect in across the internet. And then they're going to access that first column, my connectivity layer, my layer that provides me secure, controlled access into my environment. I'm just going to make sure I get a performant connection. And then I get that middle column, which is my control plane, my management plane. This is the brains of the Citrix deployment, right? This is Studio, my databases, storefront, all of the things that I need to control the final column, where I get my access to my applications and my data. Right? That's the bit that I'm really trying to connect my users to. So in Citrix, there's a couple of different ways that we can get that control plane, that management infrastructure. So you as customers can go and buy Zenapp, Zen Desktop, and you can install it yourself on your own hardware, and you can have an on-premise managed deployment that you own and control. Now, you can do exactly the same. You can build out all of those components in Azure. So you can take all of the Citrix infrastructure, studio, databases, storefront, and you can build that out in Azure. So it's now a cloud deployment, but it's owned and managed by you. Obviously, we also have service providers that will deliver a solution based on the technologies that we're talking about. And then we have Citrix Cloud, or Zenapp, or Zen Desktop Service. So these are our cloud services. That means instead of you building and deploying your own management infrastructure on-premise or in Azure, you subscribe to our SaaS service. So you can take all of those Citrix management components as a service managed by Citrix. And then we've got the last two on the end there. And these are the ones that we announced. I think the Windows 10 VDI service we announced about 4 months ago. I'm looking at the guys at the front just to get a nod. It was about in that time frame at our Synergy event. And that's a joint offering that we have with Microsoft where we can run Windows 10 as a VDI service in Azure. And then we announced a few weeks back Zenapp Express, which is Zenapp provided as a service from Azure. But it's a joint proposition that we have with Microsoft. Both of these are available from the Azure Marketplace, will be available from the Azure Marketplace. Once I have my management infrastructure, then I can use that to deploy my workloads, my resources, my applications, and my data wherever I want it, right? So I can then use any of these first four blue ones, and I can put the bits that's important to my organization in my data center, or I can put it in Azure. For the last two, the services that we've announced with Microsoft, they'll only deploy to Azure. Okay?
Well, thank you, Adam, for the overview. It's worthwhile knowing and understanding, once we move into the Office components of virtualization, actually how we go about getting that platform to then go and put Office on top of. So specifically, I would like to start with which version of Office we're talking about. So we have two flavors. First one is Office 365 Pro Plus. That's our cloud-enabled client. User subscription license, meaning that as an individual user, I have a license for Office. I need Office. My devices don't need Office. So wherever I go, I want Office to be. And to that point, because it's user subscription licensed, it means that I can install Office and run Office on 5 PC or Macs, plus 5 mobile devices, plus 5 tablet devices. So that's 15 devices in my portfolio that as an end user, I can use Office in. So it follows me everywhere I go. With Office 365 Pro Plus as a technology for the Windows client, it also uses what we call Click to Run as a deployment technology. It's fundamentally different from our MSI version. It allows us to update from the cloud, and it also allows us to stream both initial installs and also updates from the cloud if we choose to. Now, we have 100% control over how and when Office gets updated. A common misconception is that Office 365 Pro Plus, because it's cloud-enabled, means that Microsoft forces you to move through the versions. That's not correct. You can take control of those versions and deploy as and when you need to. We do have the usual support statements, so you need to stay within the support boundaries, but it's not a break-fix boundary. We won't fundamentally break Office if you go past that support boundary. Conversely, Office volume license using the MSI deployment technology, it's device per device license. So my laptop will get Office, but I won't, meaning that if I want to use Office, I have to go to that laptop. It also doesn't enable me to use Office on any of my mobile devices. I don't have commercial use rights across those. So I'm just stuck to the laptop. And finally, with Office 2016 Professional Plus, the MSI version, for example, and standard, we're only releasing security and bug fixes. We're not adding on any additional functionality. So all that functionality, now it will be updated in the Office 365 Pro Plus version and not the MSI version.
So John, if Office 365 Pro Plus isn't MSI based, how do I get it?
It's a great question. So actually, the way that you get it isn't through the Volume Licensing Center anymore. We have a couple of deployment mechanisms that you can use. So firstly, kind of cloud managed, and that's very much the user going to the portal and downloading and streaming Office 365 Pro Plus client directly to their native machine. And that's wholly unmanaged. So the latest version will come down with all the applications, and it'll activate on that machine. So that's not IT managed. In enterprise managed environments, so the majority of our customers, they're using what we call the Office Deployment Tool. Now, the Office Deployment Tool is a setup.exe bootstrapper along with a configuration file. And you can use that to both download the file, the source files from our content delivery network, and then run installation. We can do a whole bunch of other things, such as run uninstalls as well. And we can also app V from there. So we would generally look to use the Office Deployment Tool to get that content from our content delivery network and install either locally or from an enterprise software distribution mechanism. So the big question that we get, does Office work in virtual desktops in Citrix environments? Yes. So as of July 2014, we released Office 365 Pro Plus builds that leverage what we call shared computer activation. So shared computer activation allows a single install of Office on either a physical machine, which is shared, such as a nurse's workstation or a factory, or, crucially for this session, virtual desktops. And it doesn't count towards your 5x5x5 activation limits, which means you can spin up multiple sessions and it not impact your activations for PC or Mac. We do have some requirements around the latest Office deployment tools, but ultimately, we have that capability today. So some of the plans, we have Office 365 Pro Plus as a Windows application, so the client, Outlook, PowerPoint, Word, Excel, but it's also a licensing vehicle, a way that I can get Office on my mobile devices, for example, and on Office for the Mac. So either via standalone or one of our enterprise level plans. Of course, E4 is no longer sold, but we know that customers still are actively using that today. Office 365 Business Premium doesn't include the Office 365 Pro Plus license. It includes Office 365 Business. Office 365 Business still gives you Word, PowerPoint, Excel, but it's not giving you shared computer activation. So you're unable to run shared computer activation in virtual environments if you're running Office 365 Premium, Business Premium. So the user experience. Office 365 Pro Plus licensed user one logs onto that virtual desktop. It calls up to what we call the Office licensing service and will deliver a temporary activation token back down to the end user and give them access to Office. So it temporarily activates. At time of install, though, we're not activating Office. So my second user will come along and temporarily activate Office. So this could be a concurrent connection at the same time. Of course, they have a license as part of the Office 365 portal. It delivers the token back and fully activates Office for use. And our final use case, if, of course, we have users that do not have the license for Office 365 Pro Plus, when they do the call up to Office 365 licensing, Office licensing service, it's not going to activate Office. It's actually going to push that into what we call reduced functionality mode, essentially giving us a reader. So you can just read your content on the client application.
So John, what does this look like for me as an end user? So I'm user one, I launch my virtual application for the first time, then what happens?
So you'll be prompted for activation first time around. And then, of course, that client is going to do a call up to the Office licensing server. It's going to bring down a temporary activation token and then log that user in, and then they'll be able to use Office from there.
Right. And then when user two logs in, they get a prompt again?
They'll also get the prompt, absolutely. It'll do exactly the same, call up to the Office licensing server, deliver that token back down, and fully activate Office.
And is there a way we can make that transparent?
So we do have some tools. So we can use single sign-on, so Active Directory Federation services, and a whole range of group policy settings to suppress sign-in notifications, activation notifications, and end-user licensing agreements. So we do have some configuration components within group policy and actually at time of install that really helps us get a more seamless experience. And again, that token is temporary. So it expires roughly every 4 to 7 days. Conversely, if you're installing Office on a full client device, you get a token that lasts much longer, approximately 30 days. Internet connection for these environments is required. If it can't get a new token, it will flip the client into what we call reduced functionality mode. We also have some other deployment considerations such as Outlook, Skype for Business, and OneDrive. We do have a Microsoft Theater 4 on Thursday at 10:50 or 10:20, I believe. We'll be going into application-specific settings there. But it's worthwhile noting that, of course, when you virtualize Office, you do have considerations around where Outlook is in relation to Exchange, whether it's on-premises, online, or if everything's up in Azure. So from a configuration perspective, we're using our Office deployment tool, the configuration file, and we're going ahead at time of install. We're adding in what we call shared computer licensing, value equals one. That will essentially flip Office into our shared computer activation and allow for install on a virtualized environment. If, of course, you have machines that you've already run the Office deployment tool and you hadn't run shared computer activation, you can go ahead and change your registry key and activate that, and you can flip that version of Office from a full version of Office to shared computer activation. So some of our top support topics that we get for shared computer activation. How do I edit the Office deployment tool XML? So we have some resources at deployoffice.com. You can go onto the GitHub site with our Office resources. And we actually have a visual Office deployment tool configuration editor. You can go ahead and build your configuration files out. And there are options for configuration, shared computer activation there. Re-entering credentials on Citrix or large remote desktop services. So that is something that we're working on to better improve your user experiences there. And the grace period for internet outage. So some of the things that we've got coming in the pipeline. Firstly, feature parity with Office 2016, so that's the 365 Pro Plus version, and 2013, where we have shared computer activation pushing into reduced functionality mode. And crucially, opportunistic renewal. So when the token is reaching 50% of its life cycle, it will actively try to go out and reactivate Office and get a fresh token if internet access is available. So this really reduces the risk of running into reduced functionality mode. So we are making investments into improving those multiple sign-ins, multiple activations on Citrix, as well as support for Visio and project volume licensing on that golden image in a virtualized environment whilst running shared computer activation. So, Adam, why don't we take a look at configuring and virtualizing Office?
Finally, we can move away from slides. I've got like two more slides before we go to demos and we see if the demo gods are on my side. Now, before we kind of jump into demo, I just want to go back to this slide and show you the environment that we're going to be using for our demo. Okay, so we've used this high-level architectural view plan to create our demo, and what we have is we kind of have all of these components running in Azure. So I've got NetScaler running in Azure, I've got all of my service control infrastructure running in Azure, and then finally we've got some Server 2012 resources running in Azure with our applications and desktops. And we got all of those things from the ZenApp trial, the Citrix ZenApp trial that you can get from Azure. So you get a 30-day trial where all of the components come pre-configured. And I would say it was easy to deploy. In fact, John deployed this for us, and John is no Citrix expert. So how long did it take you to configure this, John?
So going into the Azure portal, finding the Citrix ZenApp trial, adding in my configuration information took about 5 minutes. And then, of course, it went ahead and provisioned because it's using the Azure Resource Manager templates, meaning that everything's automated. And I don't have to worry about going ahead and domain joining machines and logging into NetScaler. Everything is actually, it's really good. Everything's not just provisioned, but then we have an email after the fact giving us all the information that we need to know to get started with that trial.
Excellent. So, should we jump in and do some demo? Now, John, can you switch to that machine for me, to your machine? Now, before we go in and we start looking at configuring Office 2016, should we have a look at what we've already got? So, John, if you can log in. So this is going to log John into Storefront. Storefront is our app store where we can access all of the applications that we need to do our job. And, John, if you click on apps at the top there, what we should see is we have Office 2010 installed. Let's just say our IT team aren't the fastest in the world, and we're still using Office 2010. So now we have this requirement where we're going to want to roll out Office 2016. So what do we need first, John?
Well, I need somewhere to deploy Office. So do you have a machine for me to do that on?
Well, luckily, I created you one earlier. So like any good advert, there should, you know, this demo, there's, you know, some sequences have been shortened for the sake of this demonstration. Some of the processes it takes, like installing Windows Server 2012, it takes some time, right? So in the interest of transparency, there is some cuts that we've made here, but we will be completely honest and show you exactly what we've done along the way. So, John, if you come out of there and you jump on, if you RDP onto Ignite 2 that we've got there. So this is just a vanilla 2012 R2 server that we got from the catalog on the Azure market, on Azure. The only thing that I've done in that server is it's domain enrolled, and I've installed the Citrix VDA, which is the agent that we used as our virtual desktop agent to connect it into a Citrix environment. That's the only thing that we've done on that server, John.
Okay. So if we take a look at our machine here, we can see that there are no applications. This is a clean machine. So now I have that. Thank you, Adam, for spinning up the machine for me. I need to go and get Office because I need to virtualize Office. So what I can do is if I load up, go over to the Office 2016 deployment tool from the Microsoft download site. This is a free tool. There's no license cost involved. This is a deployment tool. So all I need to do is go ahead and grab that from the site. So let me just save this to my directory. So save as. And this is going to contain my setup.exe bootstrapper and my configuration XML. So I'm just going to go ahead and extract this back into this working directory. And the great thing is this is a very simple tool to use. There's no complexities around this. So once that's expanded, I then have my setup.exe command line, and I have a pre-canned configuration XML sheet here. So if I edit this in Notepad, and we would advise you editing in Notepad, other XML editors that aren't really XML editors, such as WordPad, that adds a load of junk into the back end of the file and causes a lot of support issues when trying to actually execute and process on that. So it's always worthwhile firing this up in Notepad. So I can clean out some of this commentary. And what I have here is I'm adding the Office client. It's 32-bit on the current channel. I've got my product ID for Office, and I can also install Visio, but I don't actually need Visio at this stage. And I can go ahead and run some more commentary. But like all good demos, as Adam says, I have made one earlier. So I'll just go over to one I've made earlier. And actually, if I open this up in Internet Explorer, that's another good way for you to check that your XML is formatted properly, because it will open up in an Internet Explorer, a web browser, and render properly. And again, what we can see here is that we've got shared computer licensing equals one, and we've got the accepted end user license agreement. So that's all ready to go. So all of these settings will execute at time of install. But one of the first things that I want to do here is go ahead and run a download. So if I just do a command line here, and I type in setup.exe/download, and this is me getting Office. I'm bringing Office from our content delivery network back down into this machine for use. And what we see here is that I now have an Office directory that's spun up, and this is actively downloading Office onto this machine for me. So if I just head back over, I've got one that we made earlier, so I can run, and just in case the screen's a little bit small, what we've done here is we've run the download switch, and then I've passed the configuration XML. So what I'm going to do on my other directory is do setup.exe/configure, which is my installation command, and pass it my configuration XML. So what this is actually now going to do for us is start to run the install of Office from the working directory. This is the directory that I've downloaded Office into. If Office doesn't exist in the working directory, it will go out to the content delivery network and stream from there. So I can now go ahead and execute the Office install process, and of course, with interest of time, I'm not going to stick around to wait for that to happen.
Fortunately, I've pre-canned this for you, John.
Thank you very much.
So if you jump on box number 3, so we had a Microsoft guy getting all of the Citrix components ready, and then we had a Citrix guy getting all of the Microsoft components for the demo ready.
So here's one we made earlier. So you can see here all of these Office applications. We've pinned them to the taskbar just to highlight that for you. But of course, when we go into our applications. So now we have a machine running Office in shared compute activation mode.
Excellent. So I'm going to use that as my template, John. So if you can flick us to number 8, please. So now we've got a machine that we're going to use as our template, and we're going to then create that, and we're going to take that in Citrix, and we're going to choose the applications that we want to present back out. Now, on Azure, what I would typically do is I would use machine creation services to take that template, to seal it as an image, and then I would cookie cut as many servers that I need to support my number of users. And we do support MCS within Azure. Again, for the sake of demos, spinning off an MCS creation service, those that you have used it before, it takes about 30 minutes to run, right? So I'm just going to manually bring this machine in. But typically, I would use MCS creation. So I've come in, I've created a new machine catalog. Obviously, a machine catalog is where we group all of our identical machines that I can then use as resources to assign out to users. So I could choose whether that's server OS if I'm doing session virtualization, or desktop OS if I'm going to do virtual desktop infrastructure. So like I said, if I was using MCS, I would choose the MCS option here, and then I would point it at Azure as my resource location, and I would create my machine object in Azure. I'm going to manually bring it in. And then I'm going to give it a name, something that I can remember. Let's call it 2012 R2. And that was Office 2016 we put on there, right, John?
It was Office 2016, yes.
So I've created my machine catalog. Now I need to go and pick some apps out of that and assign it some users. So I do that within a delivery group. So I'm going to create my delivery group. Now, I only have one machine catalog because that's all we've created. And I only have one machine in there. Potentially, I could have multiple machines, in which case I'd pick the number of machines out that I need for this particular group of users. So I'm just going to pick that one machine. And then we're going to choose which group of users we want to apply that to. So I'm going to reuse Active Directory because we're already using that for user management. So I've got a group called Office, and we're going to apply 2016 to my new Office group.
So Adam, what you're showing here is our ability to target individual groups of users.
Exactly.
For a potential Office upgrade.
Correct.
So from an Office upgrade perspective, this really helps with, from a management perspective, with being able to say, okay, we're going to take parts of the organization through that Office upgrade process, piece by piece.
So I'm just going to go through, John, pick the applications that we need. So we've got Excel, Outlook, PowerPoint.
So whilst you're doing that, a crucial part on the Outlook, if you're adding Outlook into the catalog, but we've already got another version of Outlook, so 2010 to 2016, it's preferred that actually you're removing your previous version of Outlook, because you could come up with conflicts if two versions of Outlook are being used by the end user at the same time. So very important. Is that something that we can do via this tool, Adam?
So what I'm hearing is you don't want Outlook 2010 left on that machine, John.
Correct.
Available to the users. I can deal with that in a moment. So before I do, can you just check, are you happy that we're going to call that the Office suite that I've selected there?
Yeah, it looks good.
Right, so again, I'm not going to choose any desktop assignments, and I'm just going to give that a name for my understanding. Let's call it MS. So let's go with the same name so I can remember. 2016. So right, let's just go and get rid of Outlook for you, John.
So this is where you're going into the old delivery group?
This is the old delivery group, and I'm just going to disable Outlook.
Easy as that. So there's no side-by-side installs here that we have to worry about in terms of running Office for our end users with user application testing. And as an IoT admin, you can really control who's getting which application and what that's doing for them.
So John, if we can jump back onto your machine and we can go back to Storefront.
Find it eventually. There we go.
So if you go to Storefront.
Okay.
Now, if you just log me out and log me back in again, we'll just force it through.
So there we had Office 2010 installed. So I'm just going to log back in as Adam.
If you click on Apps, what we're going to see is I've now got all of the Office suite of applications available to me, but we should see that Outlook is missing. Outlook 2010 is also missing.
And that's perfect from a transition perspective. I'm cutting out the apps that really might cause problems and conflicts moving forward with the new versions of Office.
And can you just spin up Word for me so we can just make sure it's working?
So I guess this is the Citrix receiver in play here for Office.
Yep.
So here we have the box to activate Office. This is running a previous version. One of my earlier slides highlighted that we now have feature parity between Office 2016 and Office 2013 with the 365 Pro Plus client, where we brought reduced functionality mode into play. This is an older version, so if I was to cancel out of this, it's actually going to shut down Office for me because this is an older version that was not supporting shared computer activation. But actually, Adam, it's great that we've now transitioned up into Office 365 Pro Plus. But what we'd like to do now is upgrade Office. So now we've had that initial deployment, how do we manage those updates?
Well, if we was using machine creation services, we would modify it and modify our template, and we'd update our template, and then we'd use that template to recreate our machines from that template, John, or to update our machines. Now, if you can just pitch me back onto my machine here.
So just to highlight that this is the, we've gone through the configuration and initial deployment. So now what we're really looking to do is start managing our updates for Office on those virtual desktops.
So John, I've actually just spun up and powered on a UAT server for you that we've got as a replica of that template that we just created. So if you just want to jump on there and show how we run the update process for Office, and then I'll show how we bring it back into Citrix.
Sure thing. So from an Office perspective, we've logged into that main golden image, that our main box. Now, when I've opened Office here for you, just to highlight that there are multiple ways to update Office. From an end user perspective, we do have the update Office update options via the GUI. So we can go into the backstage, and a couple of things that we can do here is check the version numbers. So the version numbers at the moment are 6001, 1043, and of course I can click on update now. Now as an IT admin, you can suppress that option to update Office for your end users. So you want to suppress that out, and then before you surface that through back to your end users. We can also do this using a command line. So using our Office click-to-run.exe, we can script this update and actually target specific versions. So here we're going to be pushing up to 16.0.7341.2032. So going from one version of Office, we see that that's 1043 up to 2032. So again, I could execute that on that machine and then hand it back over to Adam to find out how we can progress that.
Great. Now, I did tell you, I would be honest and tell you when I'm going to cheat. So these are some screenshots that I've got showing the update process for machine creation services. Because I didn't create that original machine using MCS, I can't run the update in studio for you live. But what we would do is we would go into our machine catalog, we would choose update machines, then we would specify the snapshot of the machine that we're going to use to update from. Because typically we would use snapshots to capture these changes. And then I can specify the when I want that update to apply. So I can say, well, actually, force everyone to log off now. It's a critical update. We need this, you know, it's a security patch that we need to get out now. So we can force that through immediately. Or we can say, well, actually, just apply this at the next reboot. So we're not going to impact users. We're going to reboot at a sensible time when everybody's logged off and gone home. And then we can make sure that that update is applied. But what's important, John, is when we apply that update, it's 100% success rate across all users, right? Okay. There's no dealing with failures. This is 100% success rate that we're going to get for every version that we, every app that we update. Okay. Now, once I've hit that, then that's going to update the machines. I wouldn't necessarily need to go and change any of my delivery groups because I'm going to update the images and the applications that they're already using and been specified. For this demo, I've actually created a UAT group that I've only applied to you.
Okay.
Because we want to do some testing first. Because, you know, some of the feedback that we get at Citrix when we're talking about the new world is like, how do we deal with cloud speed updates? You know, we're getting vendors providing updates to us at such an interval that we need to do some tests and we need to be comfortable with this. And that's one of, you know, our value props is, well, actually, we give you back control so you can, you know, silo off these applications, choose who tests when, and you're our guinea pig. You're going to test this for us.
Sounds good. So what I can do is log back into the receiver, log on, and check out my apps. So again, we saw that our previous version was running inside of our virtual machine. And if I just go ahead and activate.
Actually, John, before you activate, can you just close that, cancel that for me?
Of course, yeah.
So we now get reduced functionality mode.
Excellent. So what we've seen here is moving from an old version that didn't support reduced functionality mode straight into a version that does support reduced functionality mode. And again, we can check out the backstage, go to account, and we can see our updated version number at the back there. So really, really simple to target those user application testers with the new versions of Office. So let's take a look at some of our other content in terms of managing updates. So some of our other considerations. So identifying those user groups, whether they're IT or app compat testing user groups, user acceptance. So from a business perspective, running side by side. And then identifying those delivery groups, so which applications that they need, and leveraging AD groups for that, and then updating that machine catalog. If we could just hold questions to the end of the session, that'd be great. Thank you very much. So let's quickly summarize what we've had here. So does Office work in virtual environments? Using shared computer activation, yes, it does. We're able to install on that central golden image and pushed up those versions of Office for your users to leverage. In terms of the licenses that you need, Office 365 Pro Plus gives you licenses across mobile devices and Windows clients. But ultimately, to support shared computer activation, you do need to have an Office 365 Pro Plus license. We've talked about virtualizing Office using shared computer activation and the Office deployment tool, and how we put that onto our golden image. And then, of course, how we can target those updates using scripts and group policies, which is another option. And also the scenarios that we've run through in terms of security, availability of Office, and, of course, transition and updates and migrations. So that's the end of our session. If you'd like a more deep conversation, please stop by the Office 365 Pro Plus booth. We have a range of experts on that booth in the expo hall. And there's also a competition to win a Surface Pro 4 along with some headphones. And we do have some preferred practices around deployment. So well worth coming along to the expo hall and having a conversation with us. Here's the playlist. So if you go to aka.ms/proplusignite, and you'll find a range of the rest of our content that's well worth checking out. And finally, your feedback is very important to us. Please do feedback on the session. It'd be great to hear your thoughts. And we will be here to take additional questions. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.